When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
We are continuing spooky time with Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Spooky time.
Yes, we are.
All right. This movie came out in 2010. Directed by Eli Craig, written by Eli Craig and Morgan Jurgensen, starring Tyler Labine, Alan Tudyk, and Katrina Bowden. Others that I've never heard of. Philip Granger, Jesse Moss, Shalon Simmons, Shalane, I don't know. Travis Nelson, and others. Alex, this is your movie. What's your history with it?
I think, you know what? I don't know exactly how I heard about this movie. I think maybe I just saw a trailer randomly for it on streaming. Like maybe it was one of the, I was flipping through Netflix and you know how it plays a trailer when you're just looking at stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I thought it was, you know, it looked interesting and I took a shot, took a stab at it and watched it and I loved it.
Did this actually come out in the theaters or is this a streaming? It's 2010, so it had to be in the theaters, right?
Yeah, it came out in the theaters for a bit.
I something in the trivia mentioned that it was canned for several years. So it came out in 2010, but we might have started seeing like trailers for it back in 2008, 2007. And then they just didn't release it until way after for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
Might have been one of those movies where they just didn't pick up they weren't able to pick up a distributor. Anyway.
It kind of feels like this would be a streaming movie. It's a straight to Netflix or Hulu or something. So I thought it was a more modern movie, but it's not.
It almost has a Blumhouse feel to it, so I could see it being in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Blumhouse is a little more scary than this, but yeah, I guess some of them aren't. Like Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, what's your history with it?
So I remember seeing ads for this way back in around the time that's listed here. But yeah, never did catch it. I know several friends that said it was a lot of fun. So it was my first time watching it. I caught it on Amazon Prime. And I'm kind of bummed that I didn't see this sooner. I feel like this is something that's right up my alley. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll talk more about it.
Oh yeah, I should have mentioned I caught it on Hulu just today.
Okay.
So Amazon Prime, Hulu, whatever you got.
Yeah, I also saw it on Amazon Prime. I saw it yesterday for the first time. I never heard of this until Alex brought it up. So I thought it was a more recent movie until a little bit ago when I was getting the IMDb up and everything. So I thought it was more recent.
It's been on the list for 10 years.
Has it? What?
It's been there for a while.
No, not that long. It's been there for a while, but not that long.
Well, we tend to save the scary movies for Halloween time, and we only get a couple per year. All right. Well, as usual, we're going to talk about seven items from the movie. Alex, what's your number seven?
My number seven is, I guess it wouldn't have been, it's not so cliche in 2010, but whenever there's a cabin in the woods, last cabin on the left, you will always think of Evil Dead. Evil Dead Cabin. That movie had, that trilogy had such an impact on the horror genre that no matter whether the movie is doing an homage to Evil Dead or not, when there's a cabin in the woods, I always think Evil Dead.
Okay.
I think they did a pretty good job recreating it too in this one. At least the outside, the facade.
Yeah, I don't know enough about horror movies to say like what was the first. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Like, it does conjure up that particular cabin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean is on purpose, right? I mean, it's
very... in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even Cabin in the Woods. But then there's like knock at the cabin. It's like, oh, I wonder if it's going to look like the Evil Dead house. It's like, I can't help but think that.
I think U-Turn came out before this, maybe, or around the same time that it was also like had the creepy cabin and the redneck or the hillbillies.
There was the Ring when they go to the cabin, too. It's like, oh.
Look that up.
Man.
All right. Well, Scott, number 7.
Okay, my number 7 is that the Dale and Alice romance is actually really sweet. They actually have a surprising amount of chemistry, and I like the through line of them together. Like, yeah, they get over all the horrific things that happen pretty quickly, but other than that, like, it actually does kind of make some level of sense on paper that they would wind up together. Yeah, not much more to say about that. Like for a movie that's all about horror tropes and it is an actual horror movie at its core. Mm-hmm. It, like the sweet little romance they had there was fun. I liked it.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
My number 7 is with just, you know, these new teens or whatever, and just how they're the typical douchey teens and everything. The one guy just hitting the joint and then taking his inhaler right after it, and then that coming back into play later with him being the bad guy and everything. But just, I thought that was hilarious. The guy just taking a rip, and then so this is like all your horror movies you've seen, but now it's more updated with these nerds who have allergies and asthma and everything that they didn't have in the 70s and 80s. Horror movies, so
yeah. How come it didn't exist back then? That's weird. Must have been cleaner water or something.
So that's my number 7. Alex, what's your number 6?
My number 6, because I haven't seen this movie in a long time. So when that kid just bolts and says, "I'm just gonna go in the truck. My dad won't let anybody else drive it. All right, I'll be back." And I thought, "Oh, okay, this is the one kid that survives." Nope. He surprisingly comes back with the sheriff. He's like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So I like that. Not only it's it's subverting my expectations, which this movie does pretty well with a lot of the tropes, turns them on their head a little bit, and I like this one. This one took me by surprise.
Agreed. All right, Scott, number 6.
Okay. Just real quick, I meant to say Wrong Turn, not U-Turn. Wrong Turn.
Yeah, I was going to say it's U-Turn with what's his face, David Lynch movie?
Yeah, yeah, not that one. The Wrong Turn with the Elijah Dushku, 2003. John Zone's a pretty decent horror movie. But anyway, so my number 6 is I liked how the joke about how Tucker and Dale were so excited about that shitty cabin. And just completely oblivious to, like, again, this movie plays a lot with different horror tropes, and just them being oblivious to like all the like creepy things about it. You know, I think some of them being hillbillies, they don't really care about the fact that it's dilapidated or anything like that. And, you know, all the cobwebs mm-hmm. and dust, but they don't think twice about the creepy, news clippings, you know, the funny joke about the chili dogs. They look at all like the weird bones hanging from the ceiling, and they say it's like, so, oh, an archaeologist must have lived here.
Yeah, really. It's an archaeologist.
Yeah, when they first pull up to the house, like, I wonder if this was ad lib, but like Dale's like, oh, is that a truck? Is that ours now? Like, just the rusted out like truck out in the front of it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, when he's walking up and he said, they said it was a fixer-upper. yeah. Just how like excited they are to be there, and they had no problem with it. You know, like I kind of like that because you know I guess in and of itself that's playing with the horror trope because like that creepy cabin in the middle of the woods, like somebody lived there and they don't mind it. So there you go. That's my number six.
All right. Well, my number six is, yeah, it's got to talk about the smoke show in this, and it would be the main girl.
Jesus.
Allison. Yeah.
She's easy on the eyes as my.
Yeah. Jeebus H.
And what was bothering me, I'm like, okay, this girl's hot, but I have seen her before. I pulled up her IMDb and like the first 10 things, and I've never seen this. It's all just shitty B movies. And the whole time I was like, I know I've seen her before. And I finally figured it out, and it was from 30 Rock. She was in like the entire, she was in like the entire series. She was just like the secretary or the assistant or something.
Okay,
yeah, and that's yeah,
okay.
That's what finally proved it to me. She wore more clothing on 30 Rock. But anyway, I'm sorry. I mean, she was good. Like you said, she had good chemistry, so she it was more than just the looks. But that definitely starts off that way. I'm not gonna lie. So, Allison is my number six.
Nice.
Alex, number six.
My number five.
Oh, sorry.
Five. Is the flashback, the spooky camp story that Chad tells. You get to see it all play out and everything. It's a classic slasher movie story. And seeing all the slasher kills was pretty cool. Like commando style, throwing the saw blade. Dude's face. And then it comes into play later on, which I thought was a great touch. It wasn't just a story, a spooky story for the sake of scaring the teens before they go skinny dipping in the lake. it served a purpose. That was great.
Agreed. Sorry, Scott, number five.
Okay. My number five was at the very end with the wrong finger gag.
Yeah, it was
that was really funny. Like, I don't know where they came up with that finger. Like, I was like thinking about it when I was writing out my notes. I'm like, where did that finger come from? Because it could only come from the other girl who blew up in the cabin. Like, unless I missed.
Yeah,
something.
that was smoking or something. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
What about the other girl?
Her complexion
she was black,
darker.
So yeah, that would have been really mismatched.
Yeah, but her complexion wasn't that dark. Like, oh, it could have been. I don't know. I forgot how she died though.
But she also would have blown up in the cabin too.
Yeah,
did she? Okay, I don't.
Her face got mangled.
So kind of the same
thing. Oh, baby, wiping her duck. Why didn't she duck?
Yeah, I like how though like it has the painted like the pristine painted fingernail still on there. let me ask you guys a question. Did you half expect him to like try to open up the beer can with his fingers and have them pop off again?
No.
No, but damn it.
I'm glad they did because I was like uncomfortable just thinking about it.
it's like one last gore.
Yeah, it was like, or like kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Like how he loses. Anyway, the wrong finger gag was pretty funny.
All right. Alex. No, is it me? Who is it?
Yeah, it's you.
Me number five. me number five. Oh, crap. I clicked on. Oh, here it goes. Got the fun concept of this movie. I'll get to that. I mean, I have more to say about all the details, but to say this was. I was not expecting this movie. I had no idea what to expect from this movie. I thought it was going to be a full on horror movie. And, like, it's not. It is, but it isn't. And I really like the concept of just all these. I'll say more about the details later, but just, yeah, was not expecting it and I had a lot of fun and I could see this being a yearly tradition now because I really did enjoy it like that. It's not the best movie ever, but it's a fun Halloween watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to dig into it like a Exorcist or, you know.
Yeah. You don't have to prep. Get your rosaries ready.
Even Halloween, which I love, but it's still, it's an intense watch even after I've seen it it's 20, a slow 30 burn, times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This goddamn right. Outdoor schools in the Midwest bullshit.
Wait, it wasn't Midwest, was it? Was it supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That was in the movies that made us, the horror edition, and that's what they said. It's like, movie's supposed to be in the Midwest, but they have outdoor schools in the shots. That's not right.
Yeah, it's like filled in Pasadena or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, number four.
My number four is just Alan Tudyk and what's the name of the guy? Tyler Labine were fucking great when they're trying to explain to the sheriff exactly what happened. Everybody, sheriff, we're just working on a fixture upper here, and all these kids just started killing themselves on my property.
We had a doozy of a day.
Yeah. And Dale was still holding the leg of the half a guy. So there the whole damn time. Oh, and then he let us slip. It's like, you know, oh, then there's the other girl that's unconscious. And Alan Tudyk, Tucker is like, slapping him real hard on the shoulder. Yeah, she's in my bedroom. You know what? She could probably explain the whole thing if she's awake. Oh my god, that got me. So good. The thing was, the sheriff, yeah, believed him after he saw Allison, checked her out, saw that she was pretty much unharmed except for the head trauma that she suffered. Yeah. And then, well, something happened.
I will say, like, that part of the movie, I was like, okay, this is where the movie, like, what's gonna happen here with this cough? Like, I guess I wasn't expecting that. I guess I should have, but like for him to accidentally get killed as well. But I was like, okay.
I told you we should fix that first.
He sees them holding a bloody stump of a man. Like, what's
so
they didn't pull his gun out on him, but
yeah, at first because he wasn't more aggressive, I thought like, okay, he was one of the like he was part of the original massacre or something like that.
That's what I was starting to think too.
Yeah, because he says the whole pain and suffering thing. But then when he's like standing in front of the beam forever, I'm like, okay.
Yes, I knew the beam was going to get it. All right, Scott, number four.
Okay, my number four was the note that Dale leaves them with the hatchet.
Yeah.
So again, like we keep talking about, they play with different tropes, but this one made me laugh out loud. We got your friend. You are like,
yeah,
just like very ominous in all caps. Like, yeah, you can totally see how they might react to that in a negative manner.
Yeah,
even in the boat too, when they picked up Allison. Hey, we got your friend. Let's get out of here. Like, I was like, where are they going?
College kids.
Yeah.
College kids. Oh man.
Or when they were even calling to Allison to begin with, like, hey lady.
Yeah.
I mean that's the movie, all the misunderstandings. So like it's basically a big Lucy episode.
Yeah. Freudian slip right there, Jeff.
Yeah, geez, Jeff.
What did I say?
You said breast.
That's the breast of the movie.
Were those stunt breasts in this movie? I have a feeling they were, but I don't know. Anyway.
They were not.
Wow.
Ew. Okay. Spectacular.
From a distance. That's also, they don't, never mind. They don't do raunchy movies anymore, I guess. I don't know what I was expecting. My number four?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's at the very beginning when Dale... Tucker telling Dale to go talk to the girls. You know, you're just as good as they are. Who cares? And he goes over with the scythe and whatever he's called, and just being all creepy, but not at the same time. Yeah, just the start of what just the movie's awkward, to become. Yeah. And
him laughing. You're in college, huh? Like, are you going camping?
Yeah.
Or just smile and laugh. And
neither one of them thinks at all about the scythe that he's got.
Yeah, he doesn't even mention it.
No. All right. So Alex, number three.
My number three is Chad. I thought he was a good douchebag villain that had a turn.
Pop collar.
Yeah. Pop collar. You think he's going to be like the classic kind of douche. And he kind of is, but super aggressive. And then he goes like full aggro. It's like, okay, this guy's really mentally unstable. Like after a bit, he starts threatening his own friends to go save like Allison. And it turns out, well, he's also connected to these woods. I gotta figure, though, that if they never met Tucker and Dale, he brought them to that spot on purpose, right? Because of all the stories that he heard from his grandma?
Yeah, like, yeah, I was wondering whether, like, I don't think he was out there to kill them, but, like, he kind of wanted something to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
He says, now's our chance. Because, yeah, he did see this as this big opportunity to maybe get some revenge, maybe get some closure from all the stuff that he heard.
I do like they kind of go out of their way to show that, like, douchey white belt that he has. But it's actually, like, it's actually like functional at the end of the movie because he's got the hatchet tucked in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Turns out, spoiler alert, you're half hillbilly, too. No. They lied to me. That was great.
Yeah, it's his first conversation with Allison, too, that turns out there's a creep. Like, you and I are the same and all that. That's really like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Scott, number three.
My number three is the last thing Alex was talking about. The funniest line in the movie is from Allison. And she, like, in like, complete earnestness says, you're half hillbilly. that made me laugh out loud. Just more for the line delivery than anything else. But you could tell that you knew he was connected to it some way. This just kind of crystallized it with the newspaper story and like the same actor like in makeup as his father in the movie. Just the you're half hillbilly, as if that's like that doesn't actually really explain anything.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to like again show like how he's connected to everything. So that's my number three.
Nice. All right, my number three is the wood chipper scene, which the whole thing we kind of talked about the end of it, but then the beginning of it when just guy goes running after him and he ducks out of the way on accident, the guy trips and he's what the hell? He just jumped into the wood chipper and just he's trying to pull him out. But from the other angle, it looks like he's trying to shove him in and everything. It's just the whole thing. I mean, there's lots of good death scenes in this movie. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then I said, cultivating with him, pulling him out, and then just the cop showing up. All right. Alex, number two.
My number two is the great death scenes. Not only the wood chipper, but the guy that trips and falls into the shithole. The shithole that they're digging. The guy that's just running. It's Alan Tudyk hit a beehive. And he's running with the chainsaw. And all of a sudden, the poor terrified college kid. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're just running side to side looking at each other. It's like, what? He should have looked where he was going.
That's my only criticism about the deaths is that kid basically had the same death as the other kid.
With the impaling?
Yeah. I did like the first guy, though. Like, when the bee lands on him, he has that, like, moment of recognition of, like, oh. he was running like that because of the bees.
Well.
And it's not a criticism, but it's too bad that, like, nobody else had that kind of moment of reflection. Like, obviously the guy in the wood chipper doesn't make any sense, but like for everybody else to be like, oh, I did this to myself, like kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you got to take the safety off on the side.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, I know what's going to happen now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
It's going to be like Planet Terror all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy had to be running really fast to impale himself that deep on that.
Didn't think about it too much. Yeah.
He was really skinny, too.
All right. Scott, number two. Two.
Two is same as Alex's, all the fun deaths. I think it's one of our favorite things about the horror movies is always the good gore. My favorite one was the nails. Just like the sheriff like walking around and everybody freaking out and like... Tucker Dale like he's good, he's walking it off.
Yeah, I think he's gonna walk it off, he'll be okay. Tucker Dale's coming through the sides of his face.
But yeah, it was fun to see all the kids in the back, like why is he going in there? And in a way, they were right. Like, he should have gone in there, but not for the reason they thought. And then, yeah, they have the Chekhov's beam, broken beam.
Nails, Chekhov's beam.
So, yeah, all the fun deaths is my number two.
All right. Well, my number two specifically is the chainsaw bees. Just because, like, once again, it's early on in the movie and you're seeing where it's going. And yeah, I just think, like, wildly swinging the chainsaws, you're coming up the house because there are bees and just...
It's very, Chainsaw Massacre kind of...
Yeah, because he's swinging it wildly, and but for a good reason. And yeah, I was cracking up when I saw that. So, chainsaw bees is my number two. Alex, what's your number one?
My number one is Tucker and Dale's friendship cannot be unbroken. Yeah, they've been friends since they were kids, catching frogs down by the creek.
You let them lick them?
Yeah, I let them lick them. Always make them feel kind of funny. And that was just great. I mean, I think the whole movie works because, largely in part, because of the friendship and the chemistry they have, the two actors have with each other. Always having more or less each other's backs. Tucker gets angry at Dale, but it's never like raging anger or anything, you know. I always like that Tudyk's performance on this, where he's like, he's really mad, he's got bees stings all over his face, but he's like, dude, I'm gonna help you take out the bee stingers, then you know, I'll help you with whatever you want. And then after that, it's like kind of cool. It's like, yeah, I would like that very much, please.
I like when he pours beer on his face.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, that makes so much sense. Yeah, he does that to his fingers too.
Yeah, he does the same thing. It's like
he's just his gear all.
Yeah, and then like that's the present, he's with the ribbon on it. Yeah, But Alan Tudyk and Tyler Levine always are welcome additions to any cast. So.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, a lot of times in movies where you have these two kind of characters, there's the dumb one, the other guy's constantly yelling at him, calling him stupid, but that really doesn't happen in this. He's more like trying to pump him up throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that.
That was good also. So, yeah, you're better than you think you are, man.
Yeah.
Come on, have some confidence.
All right, Scott, number one.
My number one is, again, them playing with all the horror tropes. I really like the concept here. Like we've talked about almost all of it, from the creepy cabin, the way the movie starts, you've got the douchey college kids and they run across the hillbillies and they have the awkward couple of encounters and, they have the guy telling the horror story, you know, and then when bad stuff starts happening, you know, like them, like you the stuff with the chainsaw and the bees, pulling the girl into the boat. The wood chipper, them being covered in blood, the message that he leaves, like all the trappings that are there, but nothing's quite as it would be in a normal horror movie. It's all explained away. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just a really fun concept. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
All right, agreed. My number one has already been mentioned. It was the beam death, but just more the joke. That, oh, he's good. Look, he's going to walk it off. Yeah, I LOL on that one. To me, that was the funniest line. I was walking out with the 2x4 stuck to his head and nails sticking out the side.
So good.
Any honorable mentions?
I was going to mention the beer on the face. That's great. Yeah. That was a nice touch by Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, I like the them when they're getting shot at, and Dale goes, "I don't even like fishing," and like his feelings are hurt.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry about that. They hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah. Does he say something like, how is that possible? Or
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. It's time to rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Alex, what do you give it?
For me, this is a strong 6. I love this movie. I should watch it more.
All right, Scott.
Also a 6. Like, it clocks in under an hour and a half. That alone almost gives it a whole point.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's just very breezy. You already kind of mentioned it, Jeff, like it's a Halloween movie, but I totally see having this on in the background. If I saw this on, I'd be like, oh, I'll just throw it on, because like almost every scene there's something entertaining going on. So 6 for me.
All right. I'm between a 5 and a 6. It's hard for me to give a movie a 6 that I've only seen once, but I do plan on seeing this again. So, all right. I'll give it. It's a low 6.
All right. Yeah, 666 for Halloween 6. Movie. I like it.
Woo. There you go. All right.
And yeah, but in your dreams, that's a 999. 1999. You get it.
Yeah. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Oh, shit.
I'm trying to think of that name with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
End of days.
End of days.
End of days. God.
Forgive me, Father. I'm about to send you to hell. It's not a line from the movie, but I wish it was.
Yeah, it should have been.
Yeah. It's basically a line from the movie, though. Yeah, you know, it's real pretty bad.
Missed opportunity.
Maybe we should do that one soon. Anyway.
Oh, the movie's not good.
Oh, I know.
So we should.
I know.
So, in other words, we should.
We definitely should.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, it's time for our crossover topic, which is what, Alex?
Our top 5 moments of comedy in horror movies.
Okay, so before we start...
Or funny moments.
Did you guys go for whatever you thought was funny or stuff that was intentionally supposed to be funny? There's not a wrong or right answer here, but like I tried to keep to stuff that was intentional for my list. So.
I try to keep it to some that's intentional, and some may or may not be. I don't. We'll see. But I think most of mine was supposed to be funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or like meta funny and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I got 3 to 2. 2 that aren't supposed to be funny, and 3 that are. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's your number 5, Alex?
My number 5 is, it's a number 5 because this is one of my better theater moments, one of my favorite theater memories, when it was all of us, when we used to work together, and we went to the theater to watch Club Dread, God, and at the very end.
Go for it, yeah. No, I can't believe you thought of this, because I have it on my list, too. All right, go for it.
Yeah, and... at the very end, we see the bad guy, the main slasher, go down, but he's under the water, you know, mysterious circumstances. And our other friend, Diana, just very loudly in the middle of a theater, he's not dead. And sure enough, he comes back for one last try at killing the good guys.
Yeah, it was like 4 times where he like dies, yeah. Right? And then she caught on.
You even see his legs pumping away at the end of the movie.
Oh yeah, he's still swimming after him.
Not the part where it's like, I can't believe you're killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have known it was you.
Yeah. All right. Scott, number 5.
Number 5 is Patrick Bateman. The chainsaw chase when he's naked and then he drops the chainsaw down the stairwell.
I don't remember the guy from Arrested Development ever being naked with a chainsaw. Yes.
Patrick Bateman.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. My number 5, and this is the first of 2 Friday the 13th funny things of mine. This would be, I don't know the number, and I believe it is Jason Takes Manhattan. It's when it is the boxing thing. The guy tries to box Jason, and then doesn't really affect him at all. And then he just destroys him.
I think I know what you're your other Friday the 13th one is, Jeff. And I wish I had my list. I wish I had my list.
Oh, damn it.
Because we all saw that one together at one of our terrible movie nights. But
yeah.
Anyway, Jason boxing, and I believe it's Jason Takes Manhattan.
That's the right one. Okay. That pretty much does not take place in Manhattan, but whatever.
No.
Yo, it's like Vancouver the entire time with some establishing shots of
New York. Vancouver in a boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Alex, number four.
My number four is from a video game. It was just line delivery and the voice actors back in the early 90s were not the best for video games, at least. So in Resident Evil 1.
Well, there's so many to choose from.
I know, but when Barry finds the lockpick, he's like, here, you should take this, for you are the master of unlocking.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Oh my god.
Or
it's blood. I hope it's not.
Chris's
blood.
Barry. It's
everything.
Yeah.
But fucking you, the master of unlocking. What?
There's
talks like that.
Alex, you haven't played the Resident Evil 4 remake yet, have you?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay. I won't say anything.
I should. That's my favorite one.
You should. That's great.
On the OG's one. All right.
In the year, the one of the better years we've had in gaming. That's one of the better games this year.
Mm. All right. Scott, number four.
My number four is from Gremlins 2, which I watched a ton as a kid. So there was the scene in the middle, and you could actually get like one of three different sequences, two different sequences. When they go into the movie theater, you can either get one with Hulk Hogan or one with John Wayne. And the John Wayne one cracked me up because they re-edited it like they do with the Rally Monkey at Anaheim Stadium. So they inserted Gremlin into like a Western fighting John Wayne. And the Gremlin, when he's about to have a shootout with John Wayne, and the Gremlin goes, Duke. Like, that shit still cracks me up even thinking about it. So that's my number four. Nice. So the Hogan one's also pretty funny, but I don't remember that one quite as well. Oh, and I never understood, like, how to get which version of which.
Just random, kind of like when they released Clue without those endings.
So anyway.
But which one do you get now when you, like, stream it?
I have no idea.
There was one because I saw it on TV a couple years after they released it in theaters, and they have instead of a big movie screen, it's like the screen goes like white with the white noise and everything, and you see gremlins silhouettes and stuff messing around with the stuff.
I thought that was a part of it either way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well then maybe they just cut the theater portion out of that one for the TV edit, then.
Unsure. Anyway.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's been a long time since
we'll have to rewatch the Keen Peele skit on Gremlins 2.
Oh, that one's great.
All right. My number four is also from Club Dread, but it's different. It would just be the Pac-Man maze scene. So
that's inspired. It's like, why don't clubs do that?
Yeah, it's hilarious, and it's all the stuff that you drink. All of a sudden, the girls have to take their tops off and run away. I forgot how it went, and then the watermelon or the pineapple gets killed. I don't remember exactly what's
going on. Yeah, got you, fucker.
Yeah. So that's my number four. Alex, number three.
My number three is, I forget which one, but Nightmare on Elm Street, when Freddy just starts saying bitch for everything. You're gonna die, bitch. Yeah, he just cracks me up. Every once in a while, he'll get like a real good one in there. Like he was really feeling it. Like Robert Englund was like, oh yeah, this is the best bitch I've ever said in my life. Bon appetit, bitch.
Bitch.
Doing his American accent. Probably was fun for him.
That's right.
All right. Scott, number three.
Okay. My number three is a movie that you guys had seen that I had not, but we did 2 years ago now, 3 years ago for Halloween. That would be Cabin in the Woods. And that's when Chris Hemsworth does what heroes do. And he tries to jump the gorge on the motorcycle. And we all know what happens.
That's pretty good.
He saves the day.
He saves the day as he rides out to the rescue.
All right. My number three is also Cabin in the Woods, but I just did almost any time they go back to the control room scene, and then just all the little side gags on the whiteboards and all the bets and all just all the stuff you read on the screens and them cheering and just all of that meta stuff behind the scenes. I just thought that was always hilarious.
It was like how Bradley Whitford's character is like so depressed that they didn't choose the lagoon merman. Monster. Yeah. The merman, whatever.
Yeah. Oh man. It's like someday somebody will pick it.
Yeah. So there's all that stuff in that movie. It's cold. All right. Alex, number two.
My number two is Evil Dead 2. When Ash is going insane and all the taxidermy stuff comes to life, and some of the furniture in the cabin is also coming to life. But it always cracks me up when the lamp starts imitating him as he's doing squats, and then he just cackles with laughter. That gets me every time.
Very good. I'm going to have something similar on my number two. Scott.
What's your number two? My number two is Evil Dead 2, and it's Ash fighting his hand.
Farewell to arms.
it is a particular fun to see Bruce Campbell like do his version of going crazy. Because it's definitely like a unique brand of it that we see for movies anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my number two is just Army of Darkness. I couldn't pick anything from the movie, so... Whatever you want. Ash fighting everything in there. First you want to kiss me, then you want to kill me. The jumping up against his chainsaw. Shooting behind over his back.
That's my favorite. Like, fucking orgasm. Yeah, he's so impressed with himself.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Just all of that. Ash is funny. All right.
I never even saw Alex these assholes before.
Alex number one.
My number one is from The Thing, and that's when they go and check on Blair.
Oh, that's just
sitting
good.
At the table. There's just a noose hanging there.
That's so good. I'm okay. I'm ready to go back inside.
Hey, I'm cold here, man.
Yeah. I just ignore it. Mean, God, that's good.
Dude, that's like unintentionally funny, though, right? I don't think you're supposed to laugh
know.
At that scene.
I don't know.
Because he's just there sitting at a table. There's a noose.
I mean... Maybe because that movie just builds tension up, so it needs a little bit of release. You just kind of have to laugh there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm all right. I'm a lot better.
I'm okay.
I'm okay. You trolled me.
I wants to be one of us. Smash. God.
My friend Eric had COVID. And like we were checking in on him over on the chats, and then finally someone asked him a few days later. He's like, "I'm all right. I'm a lot better now." Let me. Oh, I was dying. All right. Well, my number one comes from Jason X. Jason in space.
Whatever Jason in space.
But I have two moments in the movie that I can't choose, so I'm choosing both of them. And one is when the old captain, the old general. Narrowly escapes Jason and he closes the door behind him and leans up against the door and says, "It's going to take a lot more than that to keep this old dog down." Or can take this old dog down. And then Jason's machete just stabs through the door and stabs through him. And he goes, "Yep, that'll do it." And he dies.
I think it's a very like Simpsons joke.
Yeah. It is. Ugh, I'm bad at this.
Yeah. And then at the end, when they're trying to lure Jason away and they use like the holodeck projections or whatever. And and there's these two young girls and they're like, you know, promiscuous teens on the lake. And then just the next scene, it just shows him just beating them in the sleeping bag. Just has one in the sleeping bag and beating the other. And it's just the cut. It's the hard cut to it that just cracks me up every single time. Jason Voorhees.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say, what was my honorable mention, since I guess we're moving on to this.
My number one.
Sorry about that, babe.
That could also go on your list, Alex.
Yeah.
Why he's a maniac. Bastard.
Why did he bite me? Why did he bite me?
Get that scum. Make him pay. My number one is from another one that we've done, I feel like, fairly over the last few years anyway, for Halloween, and that'd be The Lost Boys. And the very last line of the movie with the surly grandpa. Everybody's like, jaw drops when he says, one thing about living in Santa Carla I can never stomach, all the damn vampires. He knew they were in trouble the whole time and did not say anything because he's a crotchety old man. I love it.
Hey, he was too drunk to get there beforehand anyways.
Yeah. I mean, like, them moving in. Like,
oh, right. Yeah. No, yeah, you could have warned him.
Yeah, could have said something.
All the damn vampires.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking about the end of Son-in-Law, so...
Some grandage.
Dumped them on some grandage.
Well, R.I.P. Lane Smith. Oh, my God.
Oh, R.I.P.
Any other honorable mentions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like Jason 3 or 4. I forget which one, but they go back to the cabin after they revive Jason after digging up his grave and putting a bar that acted as a lightning rod and that restarted his heart, even though he'd been buried for like 3 or 4 years. But anyway, it was that movie. And then they're back at Camp Crystal Lake and they tell, all right, everybody, you got to hide under the beds and everything. Make sure he can't see you. There's cuts of the kids just flying through the air.
That's the one I thought Jeff was going to go with.
Yeah, me too.
The synchronized diving.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
Where's the one where which one was it where the coroner eats his brain?
I don't know.
Or eats a brain.
Why? Eats a brain? I don't remember that. The coroner?
In the beginning of the movie, they, like, the FBI set up a sting to capture Jason. And they're actually super effective. Like, they do, like, quote-unquote kill him. And then, like, weird stuff starts happening. Jason gets back to life. That might be the same movie. I don't remember.
I don't think it was that one. I don't know. I don't remember that one. Huh.
Like how the FBI knew about Jason, but they're like actually super effective. They're just not around for the rest of the movie.
Well, our job is done.
Yeah. That's the last time we're coming back to Crystal Lake. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it. So it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex and I like sports.
Sports ball.
Sports ball.
Damn.
So I was looking at the.
You guys are. You're tired.
I am tired.
So since it's Halloween season, I thought today I would talk about sports entertainment and the Choose Your Own Adventure movie that's on Netflix, Escape the Undertaker. I saw it with my kids. They loved it, especially since we watched it in the daytime. They weren't that spooked. But it's mostly for kids. But yeah, it's the Undertaker's in his mansion and he has his urn where he gets all his powers and everything. And he absorbs the souls of his enemies. And it's do you guys know the tag team trio, The New Day?
I don't know. Have you guys heard of them? I almost know next to nothing about.
OK, they must be more modern then. But I guess their whole thing is like they're really big on positivity and everything. It's a new day and they want to get the urn to increase their power of positivity. And that's why they go to the Undertaker's mansion to try and steal the urn from him. And they get into some hijinks, some spooky stuff. It depends on what you choose. So, yeah, there's actually like a little, a nice little touching homage to Paul Bearer. And, there's also, maybe you guys can help me out. There's some Easter egg where they find a corpse in the morgue and the toe tag says Ivan Yankum. Is that an old wrestler?
That is the former, that's who Kane was before he was Kane.
Oh, this is one of his old personas that died.
Yeah, and he was like a mad dentist. So Ivan Yankum, yanking teeth. It was a terrible gimmick.
And yet, not even close to the worst gimmick.
No, nope. No. But yeah, that's before Kane was Kane.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, give it a watch. It's short.
So
I recommend.
So in Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
Right.
That's what I was thinking of, where the FBI sits
at the sting. Oh, okay.
The very beginning of the movie, a female FBI agent poses as like a sexy teen camper. And Jason shows up, but the FBI are waiting for them. And they take him out. That actress and then the FBI again and that agent are not seen again for any of the other Jason stuff. But that actress was the girlfriend, the kept girlfriend from Roadhouse, as I see now, Julie Michaels. Anyways, just tossing that out there. The government's not useless, is all I'm saying.
I was like, it's impossible to remember what happens in what Friday the 13th movie or Halloween movie or Jason or Friday the 13th or Nightmare.
So
it's impossible.
I barely remember Jason X, but like he's pretty vulnerable until he gets like super powered, right? Like,
well, wanted his machete back.
Well, he's like no match against like future people. But then he gets like super powered and then he's badass again. Like he gets like the metal plates or whatever. I forget how it happens.
Yeah, like they have his corpse and they're transporting it, and then somehow somebody accidentally turns on the machine that regenerates human life, kind of like what they do for Lilu in Fifth Element.
Yeah.
And then there's like this android like girl, like the Data of this thing, and she like kind of takes him out pretty easily until something happens and then he rips her head off. But like, we watch this at those parties and we're never sober. So what I really remember from that is not great, but yeah, you guys have been talking about, you couldn't figure it out. There was on the podcast, we always talk about Star Wars in character. One of the guys was saying like one of the scariest moments as a kid is the scene where like, the guy or girl's in bed and then Jason like stabs her. He's underneath the bed and he stabs through the bed and stabs through. And he's like, I don't know what one that's from. And I'm like, that kind of sounds like that's every single Jason movie. And then that's what they all joke. That's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But he said it scarred him for life. And like into his 20s, he couldn't have his bed like in the air. He had to put the box spring on the ground. Like it terrified him so much as a kid.
It's the box spring would have stopped them.
Well, you can't get underneath.
Oh, under the bed, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But what if your house has a foundation?
There you go, yeah.
Mm.
All right, it's time for NEM News.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Okay, so I did some traveling this past week.
You were gone?
I was. Surprise. Which meant that I was on a couple of fairly long plane flights. So I caught a few things. The first one I would like to talk about is...
Was the HIV?
Oh, I mean, you can't catch that twice, so...
Ew!
I caught Across the Spider-Verse, which I really enjoyed. I think you guys have both seen that, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty dang good. I think at some point, like, spoilers, that you guys mentioned that it was, like, part of a duology, like, of the full trilogy or whatever, like, kind of ends on a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. There's some super cool stuff in this. I love the whole big chase scene in the final act. That was amazing.
Yeah, with all the spider people.
Yeah. I love that we get to see a lot more of Gwen. They bring back at least the other Peter Parker. All the different, you get more of like offshoots of Spider-Man. They throw in the spider people all pointing at each other, which is hilarious. I go on and on, but yeah, it's just at the end of the day, it's great animation. It's very slick. It's cool that, it's very family oriented. As I think the Peter Parker character typically is, so that's not really going off the beaten path there. But it is like a main plot point. But yeah, I again really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next iteration, the third one, what I assume to be final one. I'm surprised we haven't seen any kind of like shorts or one-offs about some of the other characters. I mean, I guess none of this stuff is cheap to produce.
But like, I was going to say it's animation, so it's everything. There's nothing to throw away. Right,
but like I could see like something with like pretty much like all the spider people from the previous one. Like something with Penny for sure, like more of the like Ghost in the Shell kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that was good. Highly recommend that. I watched John Wick 4. Have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen 2 yet.
I haven't seen 3 or 4.
Okay, well, without spoiling too much.
Does he kill a bunch of people?
A lot of people do die in this. Yes, that is a thing that happens. I enjoyed it. I felt like some of the action sequences were like a beat too long. And they just kind of keep making up mythology for the series. I thought they started off with a really strong foundation in the first one. They feel like they just keep kind of like adding to it without any real like grounding to what happened, what was kind of established in the first movie. Still a lot of fun. Donnie Yen's great. Ian McShane is great. Clancy Brown's in it. He's always a welcome presence. Mm-hmm. Some of the other side characters are also really solid, or they pop. Keanu is somehow become like the go-to action star of our time.
Well, John Wick.
Yeah. It's very enjoyable. There's some really fun stuff in there. So if you guys get the chance to go through the series, you'll enjoy it. It might not be your favorite stuff, because I know a lot of people do say that, but they're just really solid action movies. There's also a Scott Adkins appearance. I know you guys don't know who that is, but he's like an analog for him. Because all those like Hong Kong action movie stars are like huge in China, but not necessarily the West. This guy is not really huge anywhere as far as I know. He's a British guy, but he's like basically the king of B-movie, like Western B-movie action flicks, like straight to video kind of stuff. So it was cool to see him get kind of a meaty role here in this movie. So yeah, go watch it or get through to that point, one of the two. And then finally, I watched Elemental. I think it's the latest Pixar movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that too. I'm assuming you've seen it, Alex.
I have.
With the kids.
Yeah, it was good.
I really liked what they were doing with the way they animated the elemental people. Especially I could see why they made the focus the fire people. Just because of like the range of emotion you could show and like the kind of like inner thoughts just by and how they were flickering and how their flames would grow and diminish and change color. Like the whole thing was really cool to see that happen. And the way that the water people were fluid was also cool. I don't think it was as cool as the fire stuff. And I feel like they barely touched upon the other kind of elementals walking around.
Yeah, like air and earth.
Yeah, the air people kind of got a little bit there. The water people were super emotional, constantly crying. And the fire people were like a little more high strung and tempered and... I enjoyed it. I didn't know, like a friend was saying today, I didn't realize that there was an immigrant angle to the whole thing. that helps kind of enrich the story. I recommend this one too. I also watched a couple episodes of Tulsa King, Sly Stallone as a gangster on Peacock or Paramount, whatever the hell it is. That was okay. Not enough for me to pay for either of the services. Sly's getting up there.
Yeah.
So watch him while you can. And that's it for me. Alex, anything you want to go over?
Castlevania is finally back. I still haven't watched it, but Castlevania Nocturne looks awesome. I just saw a trailer for it. This covers, if you've played the games, this covers kind of like the Castlevania Rondo of Blood or Castlevania X. I think that one was the one that had two names because of different regions or whatever. With Richter Belmont, who's the son of Trevor Belmont, and Sif or Sif? Sypha? Sif?
Sypha.
Sypha. From the previous series. And it might dip into a little bit of a Symphony of the Night. And boy, I hope this is a success because I really want to see an anime based on Symphony of the Night.
It would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I'm still playing Starfield. It's pretty cool. It's okay. It's not like earth shattering. It's not fantastic. I think the thing that's bugging me the most is that some of the main story quests are like fetch quests where you travel to a planet, you get a thing, and then you go back, and then there's another planet that you have to go to get another thing, and then you go back to like home base, and there's like it seems like filler to like kind of expand the playtime. So that's not so great. Other than that, I mean, some of the characters are there. Oh, there's one part. It's heavy spoilers, so I can't say anything about it. But once Scott gets to it, we'll talk about it. But there's a point in the game where it really irked me because something happened to a character and I don't know like what happened afterwards. I was like, what? Why didn't you explain this? One line of dialogue could have cleared this up. But
oh, don't tell me, did Dongo like smoke?
Plot twist. You know what? He does.
You know what?
You gave him what he wants.
You know what? It's also not a secret. Everybody just knows.
Oh no, poor Link. Speaking of Link, of Zelda, I've been watching the old Zelda, the Legend of Zelda cartoon from the 80s, from the Super Mario Super Show with the kids. And they're enjoying it more or less.
Well, excuse
me, princess. Yeah, that one. It's great because they just have those on Amazon Prime through Freevee. So I'm pretty sure you can just, if you just have Freevee, you can watch them also. The thing is, you're going to want to skip. It has two intros because this was part of the Super Show. It has the Super Mario Brothers Super Show intro, which is amazing. Why would you skip that anyways? And then it just goes straight into the Zelda intro and the cartoon. So just it's okay to skip. The intros, by the way. Watch the cartoon. It's great. And that's it for me.
All right. Hefe.
I don't really have anything. It's October. It's sports season. So pretty much just been watching the foosball and playoff baseball, and hockey just started tonight. So yeah, I really don't have anything. I probably watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again. I don't know.
NBA is just
actually. I was sick. I had a cold last week, and so I started watching Entourage again. Just that's a quick, easy show to watch, and I watched a few seasons of that. But nothing new. That's all I got. Sorry.
All right. It sounds like we are good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shot First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shot First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes.
Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.
Never thought I'd say this, but man, am I glad I'm not hung like a bear right now.